cleansing flame. Send the fire. Your blood-bought gift today we claim. Send the fire today. Look down and see this waiting host, and send the promised Holy Ghost. We need another Pentecost. Send the fire today. Send the fire today. Send the fire today. God,
friends, welcome to this day of Pentecost, a very special day that we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Judaism, the feast of Pentecost celebrated the thanksgiving for the wheat harvest. And it was on that day that Peter and the other disciples were still in that upper room waiting for the gift that Jesus had promised. And it came. The Holy Spirit came, as we will hear in the scripture reading. The gift of the Holy Spirit came and filled the disciples and enabled them to speak in other languages. Pentecost is celebrated by the Christian church as the birthday of the church. So let us celebrate too. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's join together in the call to worship. Children of God, come and worship. We are led by the Spirit of God. Our Redeemer accepts and invites us to gather as people of faith. We come as we are, ready to receive the good news. Thanks be to God. And we light the Christ candle today, remembering Jesus who came to save the least and the lost and fill us all with his Holy Spirit. Let's pray. The Spirit of God moves among us, binding us in covenant with faithful people of every time and place. The Spirit stirs within us, moving us to proclaim the gospel to all people. The Spirit moves through us, making us channels of God's love. As we gather to worship, we open ourselves to the Spirit of the living God, made known to us in Jesus Christ. Amen. Please say with me the prayer of confession for today. Gracious God, as we sing and pray and think about the Spirit of God falling fresh on us, we pray for forgiveness when our words and actions are shaped and molded by other than the Holy Spirit. For the times when we have used the gifts of your Spirit to enhance our own glory rather than using them to serve others. Forgive us, O God, when our use of your gifts has led to division and discord rather than increasing understanding and unity. Forgive us, O God, for believing one gift to be superior to another, rather than celebrating the various ways in which they complement each other and build up the whole community. Forgive us, O God. the Holy Spirit enables us to confess Jesus as Lord, and in doing so, we acknowledge our total allegiance to and love for Jesus. Merciful God, forgive any lack of commitment by us to love as Jesus loved and to serve as he served. Fill us anew with the Holy Spirit so that our worship, witness, and service may reflect our unity and the faithful use of our diverse gifts. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear friends, hear the good news of Pentecost. God's Spirit has been poured out on all flesh, and we have been made new. We are no longer scattered or divided, but forgiven and redeemed, gathered together to build up the kingdom of God on this earth. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
Good morning. This morning's reading is taken from the second book of Acts, chapter 2, and I'm reading verses 1 to 21 from the New Revised Standard Version, the coming of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Humans have a strange polarity. On one hand, we have actually been trying to get to God forever. And on the other, we often find ourselves just feeling like we want to hide from God. Well, the group of us who have been meeting on Tuesday evenings to discuss the series The Chosen together, We got to see that dichotomy play out in a scene in episode 4 that depicted Jesus calling the fisherman Simon Peter. Jesus does this incredible miracle. He provides this huge catch of fish, so big that it fills two boats to the brim. And then when Simon sees what has happened and realizes that Jesus has performed a miracle, he falls to his knees, declaring, "Get away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Simon Peter had waited his whole life for the Messiah to come. But then when he realized that he was finally in his Messiah's presence, his first instinct was to hide. Well, fortunately for us and for the rest of history, he got over that sense of shame pretty quickly when Jesus gently and lovingly called him to follow. Like so many of us, Simon deeply wanted to be with Jesus, but he was also keenly aware of his own failings. Well, throughout human history, we've actually seen evidence of how civilizations and cultures have tried to get closer to their gods. Much of ancient architecture is actually a testimony to this. Temples were often constructed to great heights to be close to the heavens where the gods were thought to be. When we were in Greece on our tour, we actually got to visit an example of this at Delphi, an archaeological site that is situated high in a mountain pass. In the ancient world, people would make the not insubstantial climb to Delphi to consult a priestess about important decisions. They believed that situated high up there in the temple, she was actually able to communicate with the gods. Well, our biblical story of the Tower of Babel from Genesis 11 illustrates this same desire as well. You'll remember from that story that people wanted to reach heaven to get closer to God, and so they began to build a tower. Unfortunately, their motives weren't entirely pure and their egos got in the way. So even more than just wanting to be close to God, they actually wanted to become known as people who had been able to achieve that. Well, God could see how their egos were tainting their efforts, and so he foiled their plan to prevent them from advertently or inadvertently bringing great harm to the world. He stopped them by confusing their language. So instead of speaking one common tongue as they had, he had them now speaking many different languages. And because they could no longer understand each other, they couldn't complete their task. Now that detail is particularly interesting and important for us to remember as we think about what happened with people speaking different languages at Pentecost. More on that in a bit. You know, though, even as tainted as their efforts were at Babel, there was a kernel of something good within them. It was this desire to draw closer to God, and that is a good desire. Whether we always acknowledge it or not, people have actually always had this desire. And as we heard in that exchange that Simon Peter had with Jesus on the lakeshore when Jesus called him, that desire is often also accompanied by a deep awareness of our own failings, an awareness that can make us feel like we do want to run and hide from God. We inherently sense that unaided, our flawed characters cannot be in the presence of the astounding holiness of God. Now, it's really important to remember that God foiled those efforts at Babel because human selfishness meant that it wouldn't be wise for him to trust us with the ability to achieve such heights. He didn't stop them because he didn't want to be close to us. Since the days of the garden, God's desire has always been to be with us. Remember, when humankind succumbed to temptation and sin, God banished us from paradise, not from his presence. He actually came with us, promising to be with us and to be our God. God's longing has always been to be with us. And God's intention has always been to be able to be with us without restriction. It just took some time for him to be able to make a way for that to be possible. Well, throughout the Old Testament stories, we see that God was with his people, making his presence known, often in cloud or in fire. God would speak through his prophets, and he would minister to his people through his priests. And eventually, God promised that his presence would dwell tangibly with his people in the inner sanctum of the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. So God has always been determined to find a way to be with us. And of course, we know that the central belief of the Christian faith is that in Jesus Christ, God did come to be physically with us, incarnate, in human flesh. But even though he was God, Jesus' presence was still subject to limitations, simply because he was just one person. So, today on Pentecost, we celebrate God enacting a long-established plan to come and be with us in a much bigger way than ever before. Today, we remember how that plan and the promise it held became a reality. On that Pentecost, God had promised through his prophets that the third person of God, the Holy Spirit, would be poured out, and it happened. And when it happened, everything changed. Because from that point on, God became accessible to anybody who wants to be with him. In the Holy Spirit, God has come to be with us in a whole new way, to be with us and, as astounding as it sounds, to actually live within us and through us if we desire it. In the Holy Spirit, our beautiful, loving, holy God didn't just make it possible for us to come to God. Like the prodigal son's father running to meet his wayward boy, the Holy Spirit has moved mightily and come to us himself to be with and within each and every one of us who longs for him. The curse of Babel has been rectified. Through Jesus, our dangerous, selfish tendencies can be shed, and we can become the people that we were always created to be, people who have been made in the image of God, people who act like Jesus and reflect his heart in our world. This process of shedding our flawed characters and becoming more like Jesus, it is underway in each of us. So now God no longer needs to keep us from coming together, quite the opposite. Where he scattered his people at Babel by turning their one common language into many, on that Pentecost, God removed the barriers of language so that the one message of Jesus could be heard by all. And he did that precisely so that people could come together. In fact, that's exactly what began at Pentecost. God called those who were gathered in Jerusalem together. And in doing that, the church was born. And God's been calling people to come together to be part of the church ever since. even more just as he did in the days of the Old Testament in the temple, God the Holy Spirit now lives within Christ's church, not in a special place in a building, but actually within each of us. So as astounding as it is to really think about it, through the Holy Spirit, God has not just made a way for us to come to him, but God has come to us himself in all of his holiness, in all of his beauty, in all of his absolutely incredible, unconditional and unending love. God has come to be as close to us as possible, loving us and leading us from within our own hearts and minds and souls. You know, there are lots of times when I think that I wish that I had lived when Jesus walked this earth, that I'd been able to hear and see and maybe even touch him. But honestly, I think that Simon Peter would tell us that we are abundantly blessed to live now in the time when the Spirit has been poured out for all. Simon got to follow Jesus personally for those 3 years, and in the course of those years, he did experience some pretty amazing things. But as the stories from the book of Acts show us, from this Pentecost day on, Simon Peter, the one who had felt completely unworthy to be in Jesus' presence at the beginning, he spent the rest of his days being led, gifted, and empowered by the Holy Spirit to tell people about all that Jesus had said and done. And in the process of doing that, he got to see thousands upon thousands of people discover the life that he had found, the life that can be found in Christ, the life with God and with each other that we've all always been trying to get to. My friends, God, the Holy Spirit, lives within us. And as he did for Peter, he's longing to lead us to lives of ever more richness and purpose. All we need to do is learn to recognize the Holy Spirit's nudges and then trust them to follow. Amen. Dear friends, let's join together in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us with your love. Open our eyes to see the presence of God all around us. In the stillness of this sacred time, in the busyness and noise of our city streets, in the joys and celebrations of our lives, in the tragedies and the struggles that break our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit, and comfort those who grieve. Grant them the peace that only you can bring. Stir within us a trust in life beyond death as we ponder the mysteries of Christ's resurrection and the hope that we have in a new and everlasting life. Come, Holy Spirit, and bring wholeness to the sick. Strengthen those who are weak. Heal the wounded and the broken. Give rest to the weary. Come, Holy Spirit, and inspire our warring world to seek peace, to love our enemies, to put away our weapons, to remember the price that has been paid for freedom, and to care for all those who have served. Come, Holy Spirit, and ignite a fire in our bones, a passion for justice that cannot be quenched until all of your children are loved, until no one is marginalized or oppressed, until everyone has the opportunity to thrive, and until the world is transformed and renewed. Come, Holy Spirit, and revive your church. Liberate us from all traces of complacency and apathy. Inspire us with Christ's vision for a world reborn. Help us to recognize our gifts for ministry and to use them to serve our neighbors. Transform our hearts and our minds and fill us with love that overflows. Remind us that there is no greater calling than to love you with all that we are and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Gracious God, give us a glimpse of your kingdom emerging around us and drawing us into new things you are doing in the world. It is this kingdom that we now pray for, filled with your Spirit, using the words Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please pray with me to dedicate all of the gifts so generously given this week to the work of God in this world. O God, most merciful and gracious, of whose bounty we have all received, accept this offering of your people. Remember in your love those who have brought it and those for whom it is given, and follow it with your blessing so that it may promote peace and goodwill among all peoples and advance the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, as you enter this new week, may you experience God's presence anew. May you feel God pouring out the Holy Spirit over your heads and over your thoughts and over the words of your lips, over your hearts and feelings and emotions, and over your compassion for all others as you put into action all that God commands you. And may you know the constant blessing and presence of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with you this day and always. Amen.
My soul will rest in your embrace.